staple of many students' diets. Pizza Pops being recalled because of a risk of E. coli, and pepperoni and bacon pizza snacks are part of the recall. So are Pizza Pops Supremo Extreme Pepperoni and Bacon Snacks and Pizza Pops Frank's Red Hot Pepperoni and Bacon, all with various best before dates of next June. So you might want to check your freezer, either toss them or take them back to your grocery store for a refund. No school today. And parents, that means you don't have to prepare lunches. Just leave them something to eat if they're old enough to stay on their own now and you go to work. That's great, huh? Others having to juggle childcare and taking today, tomorrow, and Wednesday off too. Making an extra long holiday break, whatever your plan is. Hope you're enjoying it so far as we count down to the big day, Thursday, Christmas arrives. I know a lot of people are going to the movies this time of the year with kids out of school, too. There are movie matinees now, and the biggie on the weekend raking in more than $345 million worldwide.
Whatever happens to me, protect this family forever.
End of the line, Jake.
Avatar, Fire and Ash.
Yeah, this one here getting a lot of good reviews, some not so good. And if you're choosing how to watch it, that's a big thing right now. That's part of the discussion. Before you go, how do you want to enjoy this movie? Fire and Ash is the first movie to be showing at the Kramer IMAX Theater in HFR, which stands for High Frame Rate. Most movies that you and I go to are shown in 24 frames per second. The new Avatar is shown at the IMAX at 48 frames per second. Why? Because James Cameron, the movie director, says higher frame rate appears smoother, reduces motion blur, and increases the clarity of fast action scenes, resulting in what he says is a more immersive and lifelike experience. Joining me now, resident movie critic Brett Buster. How about you? You feel that way?
I don't. I really hate the high frame rate stuff. I saw Avatar: The Way of Water in high frame rate, and I honestly was so distracted that I felt like I didn't even see the movie. I had to go to it again in 24 frames, and I was like, oh, there we go. So I actually avoided the high frame rate, Greg, and I went to the Southland. Not a second of high frame rate.
So if it's not high frame rate, it's 24 frames per second, and that's what everyday movies that we see are filmed in?
That's what movies have been since the dawn of cinema. They keep trying to screw with it and say the high frame rate.
James Cameron is a mega director. How does he say it's better and you say no? Do you know better than James Cameron?
In this instance, I do. I mean, he's not the only one. Guillermo del Toro tried this with the Hobbit movies and people hated it back then. High frame rate, it should be reserved for video games, which is what it is. You can play a computer game at 60 frames per second, but you're the guy in the driver's seat, so it's normal. Movies, it doesn't look cinematic. It looks like everything's moving too quickly, and it looks hyper real to the point where it looks like you're watching a commercial. And to me, it's not cinema. It's not cinematic, and I'm distracted. I am not into the high frame rate.
How long ago was Top Gun Maverick?
Three years ago.
And then it was released DVD. And new TVs, often when you buy them, are on this high frame rate already, and people won't like it necessarily. And they actually said upon the release of Maverick this.
The unfortunate side effect is that it makes most movies look like they were shot on high-speed video rather than film. Now, this is sometimes referred to as the soap opera effect. Most HD TVs come with this feature already on by default, and turning it off requires navigating a set of menus with interpolation often referred to by another brand name. Filmmakers are working with manufacturers to change the way video interpolation is activated on your television.
And I agree with Tom Cruise. I turned that setting off on my TV as well.
Okay. Let's get to Avatar. Big hit at the box office over the weekend. Does it take long to kick into the action?
I think there was a good 25 minutes before like the first major action sequence, which was very impressive. I got to say, that first scene was crazy.
I read one critic said the Darien rescue mission scene is one of the best climactic moments of a movie he's seen in quite some time.
I did really enjoy the rescue scene. However, I thought that that was the climax. And then when there was still an hour to go, I was like, oh dear.
How long is this movie?
3 hours and 15 minutes. Honestly, only a few minutes longer than The Way of Water. So it's not that crazy. I will say this, Greg. I was never bored. I was locked in. The time did fly by. But that last hour really soured me on the whole movie. I was ready to call this
unnecessary.
I was ready to call this better than The Way of Water, and then it went for another hour. And then honestly, they just recycled the same movie. The climaxes of both these movies are identical. If you had them on two screens side by side, I wouldn't be able to tell you which movie I'm watching. It's the same battle, the same setting. I couldn't believe it. I loved the new villain. She was great. I finally felt like there were some stakes. But then they just recycled the same movie, and I don't think it's going to do the numbers. And if it stops here, I'm good.
It's going to be interesting because Disney would love it to have another movie because, you know, there's Avatar Land in the Animal Kingdom
which
in
is
Florida.
Great.
And they're building Avatar Land now in California at Disney there, too. Did you know there's a 9-hour cut of this new Avatar movie rumored to be turning into a limited series on Disney Plus down the road?
Oh, man, I will not be watching that.
I don't think I will be either. Incidentally, this one's in 3D, too.
Yep.
Was that good?
The 3D is incredible, and the visuals are incredible. Just avoid the high frame rate if you can. Like I said, I saw the Southland.
How do you know if you're stepping into a theater with high frame rate? The IMAX says that's what we're delivering. What about the other theaters?
When you look to buy your ticket, which I didn't know until I bought one of my tickets, it'll literally say HFR in like where all this stuff is, where it says 3D, you know, Dolby Surround, subtitled. It'll say HFR, and that's your warning bell.
All right. Resident Movie Critic Brett Buster, thanks for the review. Solid 7 out of 10, I guess, from the new Avatar movie from Brett.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up.
Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom. I think you had the same kind of weekend as I. We didn't have to endure the parking lots that were jammed. We're kind of ahead of the game right now. Was it a little quieter weekend?
It was, yeah. I did have to go to one mall, but just very briefly. I knew what I was getting, went in and got it.
Yeah.
There was a lineup, certainly. It's busy out there. But, yeah, so I think I might be pretty close to being done, Greg. Maybe another stop or two at a place here and
nice,
there. I
might nice. Yeah, other than the grocery store, as we're hosting Christmas dinner, that's about all I got left on the to-do list here. Over the weekend, lots to catch up on. It came out late Friday. The city budget talks came to an end, and if you missed it, we're paying quite a good chunk of cash next year.
Yeah, another $460 more. So included in that will be 10.9% property tax increase. And if you'll remember, they kind of started with, you know, a property tax increase proposal that was, you know, 15%, almost 16%. So they got it down to 10.9%. But when you take that property tax increase and add in the utility hikes, that's how we get that $460. Again, for the average homeowner, some of you will be paying a lot more than that. And this is one of those decisions where the mayor says wasn't easy, but it was necessary. And he, in a way, kind of puts part of the blame on past councils.
Well, others did too. Some of the delegates who spoke last week got their shots in too. Some of those 0% increases in the FIACO days. As much as I love Regina, I guess some can point to that as being. But you know, there's more than just that council and that mayor. But it sucks. Oh, but what are we going to do now?
Yeah,
pay our bills next year.
Well, right, I mean, I suppose the good news for a lot of people is, you know, some of the cuts that were dangled, including the Regina Floral Conservatory. You know, that stays as it is. And that was part of the discussion at City Hall, right? If we bring that property tax increase down, some of these services that, you know, many people spoke out against cutting would have had to have been cut. So
I didn't want this, but I knew that it was inevitable. I thought it was going to be higher than a lot of people anticipated anyhow, because it's just, you can't not look back and say, okay, we should have done more then. And looking forward, what needs to be done now, it was inevitable, I think.
We feel the pain this year. Do we feel it again next year? And mm-hmm. So is that, or is this kind of a one-time, okay, now we're caught up, and now we move forward with more reasonable increases?
It's not going to be easy on a lot of people, though, yeah. Either. It's
absolutely
definitely not going to be easy. Bring me up to date on this carbon monoxide leak.
Yeah, so downtown, actually not too far from us here, Albert and Sass Drive on Friday night, firefighters were called. There was a carbon monoxide leak, and actually two people had to be taken to hospital. That's about all we know right now. We're still trying
to get... Is that senior citizens complex, like where the old Coronet Theater used to be?
Can't clarify that.
No, okay.
But we know it's an apartment unit, so nevertheless, I mean, we have several people, you know. As far as we knew, they had to go out of their homes. We don't know if they're back, when they can go back. We don't know what caused this leak at all. So questions that we're trying to find out this morning.
Okay. And what else is making headlines here, Kev? Anything else?
Yeah, there's this one's kind of a tough one. There's a boy. We don't know exactly how old, but police describing as a preteen. So he was in just not too far from Broadview, east of Regina, on the Ojibwe First Nation, and he was found dead. Now, police say that it wasn't suspicious, not suspicious, but they also point out that there's a lot of talk there about a potential animal mauling, and police cannot confirm that at this time. They say autopsies happening right now.
Devin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom at 6:58. Still pretty cold out there, and as the countdown to Christmas continues, there are a lot of icy sidewalks, and a friend of mine was going cross-country skiing on the weekend and said, that didn't last long. There's just so much ice out there still and not enough snow, and well, I think it's definitely going to be cold enough for ice fishing. If you got time with the kids out of school now on holidays for the next 2 weeks, that should be okay, but definitely we're getting a little more snow added to our snow counts later this afternoon, maybe another inch and a half. On Friday, it came rather late in the day, so you might be waking up this Monday morning and not even know that your taxes are going up. City Hall last week was the scene of our budget deliberations, and that's where City Hall reporter Jeff Smith hung out most of the week, too, and combined with the library utility hikes, the average homeowner paying around $460 more next year. Jeff, the mayor said, he wasn't expecting that, but it was a 6-5 vote, and he voted for it. So how did they support this?
Well, good morning, Greg. It's interesting because, you know, there were some councillors who said that this is what it costs, or other councillors who said we can get this down. Of course, originally we knew what the city administration had put forth as what it would cost to be basically status quo. And then on Wednesday, Mayor Chad Bushinsky introduced this package of amendments that would take it down to 10.73. They actually ended up slightly above that, but pretty close, right? So from 15.69, it ended up at 10.9. But Mayor Bushinsky saying that, in his opinion, the tax rates have been artificially low for the last several years, and the math is what he said.
Transit fare hike, parking ticket hikes coming in the new year, but what are we going without? What did they cut?
Well, one thing you're going to see disappear in the new year is parking meters downtown. That doesn't mean you won't be paying to park downtown. It means you just won't be able to plug a meter anymore. You'll only have cashless options. Those sandboxes that everybody was talking about last week during the stormy weather, we're not going to have those anymore. They'll be going away. Things like parks maintenance. Some parks are going to get less maintenance. They're not going to be watered as much. And that's probably something that's going to be noticeable during a Regina summer.
Jeff Smith from City Hall last week. It was a close vote, 6-5-4. Councillors against, Rasovich, Seacleese, Burton, Zakidniak, and Bezo voted against. What were some of their comments or feelings? Did you catch any from them?
Well, I mean, it's interesting to see, you know, just how hard it is. I mean, many councillors wanting to make cuts, other councillors not wanting to make cuts. But just as an example of the kind of debate we had all week, Jason Mancinelli on the last day introduced the closure of the Massey Pool. Now, that's in the list of potential cuts. It's a pool that goes back to the mid-60s. It's at the end of its life. They struggle to get it open every year. Every spring before the season, they check it out, and it's got cracks in it that have to be patched up, and they think that it's 1 year they're just not going to be able to close it. It's going to fail. But his motion to close it permanently failed. They decided, including Councillor Rasovich, who pointed out that it's in his ward, and there aren't a lot of other city services in that Whitmore Park Hillsdale area. So they voted not to close that pool. So that's just an example, almost a microcosm of the kind of debates that they had all week. Other things that they tried to cut, they found that there were maybe provincial or federal dollars attached, and it would be very difficult to figure out. Other things like, of course, the indoor aquatic facility, that needed unanimous consent to reconsider, and they didn't get that consent to do that. Of course, contracts have already been signed for that, and it's in progress. And there were other examples of things like that as well, such as funding winter activities. The Frost Festival was on the table, but they said, well, look, we're already selling tickets for that. It would be a big hassle to go back on that now. So that's another one that didn't go ahead.
All right, Jeff. Well, I appreciate all the time you spent last week at City Hall. And sincerely, I appreciate it. $460-ish more per year next year coming for homeowners on average. I appreciate the time. Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome.
No school today. Holiday break has begun. I know a few parents are taking the whole week off to get ready for Christmas and do a little extra shopping and get ready for the big day. The hot holiday toys this year. Well, the unusual, this Le Boo Boo. Have you heard about this? It's an elf-like little creature with big ears, sharp teeth, and they're a hot, hot toy this year. They're like the LOL toys my daughters grew up with over the last few years, too, where it's always a surprise which one you're going to get. Mystery Mini Sticks from Bauer. Only the Olympic themes this year, and the Team Canada Mystery Mini Stick is the hottest one to try and find. Joining me now, Brent Lokes, in for Evan Bray. Brent, are you there? We were having some technical.
I'm here.
There we go.
I'm here, Greg.
Hey, buddy. When you were a kid, was there one toy in particular that you remember getting for Christmas that you thought, this is it? I have made it.
Oh, yeah, big time. I was 11 years old. Under the Christmas tree was this big box. I opened it up, and it was the Twin Peaks electric car racing set. It was incredible. Did they even make, you know, the car racing sets anymore? You know, the track that you...
Well, you're talking about, like, the slot car-like race?
Slot cars, yeah.
Oh, those were so cool. Very cool.
It had the cardboard mountains. Oh, man, it was just awesome. It was great.
I grew up in the bionic phase, right, you know, with the $6 million man doll where you'd look at the back of its head, there was a little hole, and everything was appeared closer like it was on television.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it was hot. And I remember my brother was really into tech. He worked at Sears, the warehouse on 4th and Broad, which he was a longtime Sears employee, and everything that was new tech, he got first because he never spent his money, Mark, my brother. God bless him. He's gone now. He always saved his money for tech. I think we were the first in Regina to have a VCR that cost like $1,200 at the time. and television. It was kind of like a video game that was really, really bad. But,
oh, yeah. I remember in television, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But fun to stroll down memory lane. And how's your Christmas coming here? You got shopping all done? Grocery list checked?
All good, all good. We've actually gone out to one Christmas show at Persephone Theater in Saskatoon, and we went out to a musical performance on Saturday. So that's helping, and just hanging around some friends and family. So yeah, I think we're ramped up pretty good for Christmas.
You really got out there mixing and mingling. Well, the flu bug's been going really hard through my house. You know, one of my kids was off school for a week, and then my partner, she's been sick, so we just stayed home. We watched Love Actually, which is one of my favorite Christmas movies, and it still holds up. She didn't cry, I did.
I can't do it. I can't do Love Actually. I'm sorry. You know what ruined it for me is our former broadcasting buddy, John Gormley, used to go on and on and on about Love Actually to the point where I said, I can't watch that movie just because of John.
Boy, oh boy. I'm sorry to hear that. I still love that movie. Hey, you know, we talked about getting the grocery list done. I realize you're going to be talking a little groceries later on the show. What's coming up?
You bet. Well, Dr. Sylvain Charlebois will be joining us. Of course, everybody knows him. You hear him on with Evan quite often. And he's going to be looking back over the year of 2025 on grocery prices and also his predictions for where food prices may be going in the new year. Interesting guest coming up on the program today as well. We've got a research scientist who deals with neurodegeneration. You know, your brain starts to degenerate. And he talks about being together at Christmas time is a good opportunity to maybe do a little bit of an assessment on how maybe your folks or grandparents are maybe doing. Are you seeing some cognitive changes? So some things to look for at that family gathering and some tips on how to have that very delicate conversation. We're looking at the housing market in Saskatchewan. We've got some of the clips from Prime Minister Mark Carney and his year-end conversation on CBC yesterday. So we've got a busy morning, and you talk about the bugs going around. That's what's got Evan off work. He's not doing so well these days, so we hope that he's feeling better today and hopefully back in the chair tomorrow.
Okay, well, I'm interested in checking in on that brain function because I just realized yours isn't functioning well. You don't like Love Actually. So, Brent, have a great show. We'll see you back here at 8:30.
All right. See you, Greg.